All right. Welcome to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. I'm Charisse.
And I'm Shari.
And we are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, but real about L-O-V-E. Yes, we are.
Spell it out for them. Why don't you?
So, we're going to jump right into our segment called I Do, I'm Done. This is where we talk about something we've seen, heard, read, talked about, thought about that we really loved or we really kind of hated. So, today, I am going to say I am done to every person who calls Kevin Samuels. If you don't know who he is some relationship expert. Right. Shari did the quotes. he says he's an image consultant and people, he has lives. He goes live on Instagram and he has people call in, I guess, for like advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
About dating and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he humiliates these people.
He really does. It's embarrassing for them.
Yeah. He talks about their size and their looks and how they'll never get a man because of how fat they are.
Or how many kids they have.
Right. They don't have a good enough job. It's men and women that he talks to. And I'm done with those people who call him because why? You like the abuse. You like to be emotionally and verbally abused. And I think you should talk to somebody about that. Because sometimes it's funny when he's going in on these people. It's embarrassing, but it's funny.
Listen, it is funny. And I feel like if you're crazy enough to go on there, especially knowing how he is, then, you know, hey, you deserve for people to laugh at you and to mock you, make fun of you, what have you, because you're putting yourself in the position. You know what you're getting into at this point. It's no surprise. Exactly. So, yeah, you're a glutton for punishment.
Exactly. And don't get on there trying to be mad and go off. No, you asked for this. You said, Kevin, please talk about me. Please dog me. Please embarrass me in front of the world.
Right. Please roast the hell out of me. That's what I want.
Please make me crying. Because I love to be sad and down about myself. So I'm done with them.
Wait, if you have not seen this mock up, I don't even know if that's the right word. I know it's not the right word, but basically Spice Adams and yes, the spoof that Spice Adams and Afion Crockett did. Oh my God, it is so funny.
When was the last time you saw any of your children that you have had with these same black queens that you claim to build up?
I see my kids every day.
What you
I see my kids every day.
So go to one of their pages and look for that. It is hilarious.
Yeah. They are the best at those. As a matter of fact, this is a little off subject, but after every verses, they do a spoof of the artist. Yeah. And y'all need to check that out because they have, how do they get similar outfits so quickly?
Listen, I don't know. They got that SNL magic.
Right.
I don't know, but it is funny. It's very entertaining. All right. Well, for my take this week, I am saying I do to Amazon. Because ever since we've been in this whole panorama, you know, Amazon has just been, it's been bae. I have been ordering stuff. Every week I get something. I mean, every week or every other week, if it's not every week. Like, I'm getting something for the dog. I'm ordering, you know, food. When I was doing the whole keto thing, I stayed on there ordering some of every monk fruit sugar, some keto snacks, some some kind of noodle substitute for pasta. I mean, body suits, gels, all kind of things. Like, I just love the Amazon, like wigs. I ordered a wig for Halloween.
Wait.
For Halloween, not a real wig. It was for Halloween wig. Let's clarify. For Halloween. But yeah, I mean, I just love that you can get everything that you've pretty much ever wanted in a day or two.
I'm right with you. I've ordered batteries and books and
I ordered a ton of books.
Yeah.
It's been great, man. Yeah. It's been great. So shout out to Amazon. I know, you know, what's his name? It's Jeff Bezos. Of course.
Yeah.
He, you know, is like a billionaire trillionaire. And of course, you know, capitalism crazy, but I'm sorry. I love Amazon. Thank you so much, Amazon. This is an Amazon appreciation post.
Okay.
Exactly. So yeah, that's it. I'm here for Amazon this week, guys.
Hey, I'm right with you. I do too.
I do as well.
I too do.
Oh my God, we're such goofballs.
Oh boy. Well, that's it for the I Do, I'm Done segment for this week. And we want you to stay tuned for our very special guests. We always say that they're very special, but each person is a very special guest to us. So stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, you can use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes. All right, welcome back, everyone. So today we have a very special guest with us. We have, she likes to be called Cousin Chloe. So we're going to call her Cousin Chloe. Okay. And Sharice and I actually met Chloe when we were doing Periscope. So this was some years ago now. What, 2015, 14?
16-ish, 15-ish, 16-ish.
Round about there. But yeah, so we've known Chloe for a little while now. And, you know, we were really happy that she agreed to be a part of our show. And so, you know, we're just going to talk to Chloe about her journey in terms of marriage, where she's been. You know, she's married again now. And that's it. So, hey, Chloe, welcome to the show, girl.
Hey.
You want to go ahead and jump right on in, Sister Sharice?
Well, let's let Chloe tell us a little bit about herself first.
Listen, I don't have any home training, okay?
You know how we do, I guess.
I know. I'm like, listen, Sharice, I know Chloe. Y'all will get to know Chloe. You ain't got to know yourself outside of that. However, Sharice is correct. You know how it is when you know somebody and it's like, okay, let's just go ahead. But you're right. So Chloe, yes, please tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Sure. It's funny because I'm the exact same way. I just automatically assume people know everybody. So it's like, you're like Cousin Chloe and everybody's going to be like, yeah, Cousin Chloe. Yeah, we go way back.
Right.
Talk about your story. So for me, just a little bit about myself. I am from Houston. Well, I live in Houston, Texas. Let me say it that way. I'm not from Houston. I'm from right outside of Houston. Shout out to Navasota. But either way, longtime Texas girl, went to college at Baylor, and then shortly after I graduated college, she got married, and they got divorced, and they got married again. Professionally, I work in the hospitality industry, and in my other life, or my other hustles, or whatever you want to call it, I am a certified makeup artist, singer, a speaker.
Yeah,
you know, that's where the cousin Chloe kind of comes in, because I am like that relative or that person where it's like, oh my God, I know somebody that can do that.
Okay.
So that's where it came from. And also because like all of my other family members are like uncle somebody and aunt such and such, everybody be like Chloe, and I'm like, well, I want to handle, so I cousin Chloe. So, you know, and there we are. So yeah.
I love it. I love it. I was going to ask where the cousin Chloe came from, so I'm glad you went over that.
Yeah, yeah, that's where it came from. Y'all go put some respect on my name, too.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It kind of stuck after all those years. So I made it like finally when I joined Instagram, that's when I made it my handle. And so I have random people sometimes come up to me and they're like, cousin. And I'm like, hey. I was like, oh, yeah, I am cousin Chloe. Hey, how you doing?
I love it. I love it. Right. So they now
respect on the name.
Right.
They did. They really did. They did.
So now, cousin Chloe, we can jump into your story. So you are a fellow optimistic divorcee.
Yes, the unofficial third one.
And you did contribute to our blog when we had a blog. So now you're joining us on the podcast. So can you just give us a quick overview about your first marriage and how that went?
Sure. In a nutshell, I say that's the man I married. I don't really refer to him as my husband or my ex-husband. It was the man I married because he wasn't ready to be a husband.
Okay.
So we met kind of through friends. We met at a church service. One of my good friends was preaching his first sermon, and I sat directly behind the man I married, and he kept looking back, and I'm like, okay, service is in the front right there. Like he preaching in the front, but he kept looking over his shoulder, and I'm like, okay. After that, service is over, you know, you have the receiving line, and one of our mutual friends like introduces me to him, but initially he introduces him to my other girlfriend that was there with me. And it was like, okay, well, if you're trying to talk to my friend, you're not going to try to talk to me at the same time kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it ended up being a miscommunication because he said, introduce me to the tall one. And I actually had on heels that day. I'm never the tall one. So anyway, so we kind of, like I said, we exchanged numbers from there and, you know, dated briefly. And when our first day, we did like a 3-day weekend to like a water park here in Houston.
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, I can genuinely say I kind of fell head over heels for him. And he was, you know, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. Looked good on paper, per se. Mm-hmm. And we got engaged over the Christmas holidays right after I graduated from college. I graduated in the fall. So in December of 2007. We got engaged and we got married the following August of 2008. These years throw me off. 2008, we got married, had a great ceremony. And then it was like, I don't know if a light switch went off with him, but it was like he just kind of stopped being the man that I knew and fell in love with.
Oh,
and
wow.
I always say legally we stayed married for about another 2 years, but I always say realistically about 3 months into the marriage, it was pretty much over.
That's really interesting. I'm sorry to cut you off, but no, I'm ahead. Thinking about what you said. And remember when we had the matchmaking duo on and they were talking about how they kind of changed their time frame as to when they would work with people because they realized that a lot of times women, like, we check out much faster, you know, than men do when it comes to, like, emotionally. Like, we've already, like, withdrawn. So when you say, like, after 3 months, you were, like, already pretty much, like, checked out, that's, like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, and the checking out was a result of his, like, actions, because the whole time I'm like, well, and and my now husband will probably say differently, but I'm a very simple wife. And basically I will make very simple requests. And one of my simple requests was like, when I get home, I didn't get married to come home to an empty house every single day. Mm-hmm. And he actually went to work before I did. He worked at a daycare center. He was early childhood education as a profession. So he was working at a daycare center. So it's like, he was actually getting off of work, going to work before I was, and getting off of work before I was. So it's like, I would come home, and this was during the time where I'd leave work. I was working at a bank at the time. Leave work from the bank, go to the gym for an hour, you know, shout out to Bally Fitness. I would go to Bally's, you know, get my little workout on, because I'm like, I'm married, I got to maintain my shape, you know, all this mm-hmm. other stuff. So I'd get home 7:30 sometimes, you know, almost 8 o'clock, and he still wouldn't be home.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like, you have all this time to do, you know, go to your family, because he had family in the area. None of my immediate family was in the area. So either way, like, you know, it was just like all these little things. And like I said, shortly after, like I was saying, I'm a physical touch person. So Thanksgiving of 2008, and I remember it like it was yesterday, that was the last time we were intimate.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you might not like me every day, but I do at least need that part. You know, close mm-hmm. your eyes, grit your teeth, and let's do this.
Yes. Sounds like me, child. Okay.
So it's like, you know, I physically want you to be with me. And it's like, you know, that was kind of the final straw, I guess, for him. And probably, like say, Christmas happened, you know, all the other holidays happened. And what actually ended up happening as far as him leaving and it just truly being over, he had mentioned a few times about wanting a divorce. And I said to him, I was like, well, if you want a divorce, then, you know, you're going to have to start the process. I said, but in my mind, I'm like, I really want to fight for this, because in my mind, I always wanted to get married young. I wanted to have my babies young and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And clearly God was like, yeah, that's what you thought you were going to do.
Right.
So it was the weekend of like Good Friday. Mm. And we were at that point between November and what's that, like April-ish. April. Mm. We were basically like roommates at this point. We had a 2-bedroom townhouse. He was sleeping in the other bedroom. And we had a brief stint during Valentine's where I thought like, oh, we're about to rekindle this thing. But I was fooled. He fooled me too. Either way. So he calls me. And I'm like really excited. I'm like, he wasn't calling me or anything like that. So he calls me and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm at this church service. The same person who introduced us that sermon, he was preaching for a Good Friday service. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I'm at this church service with that person. He's like, oh, okay. And it was out of town. And he was like, oh, okay. You coming home? And I was like, yeah, of course I'm coming home. When I tell you, I bucked and shouted all over them people church. Like,
oh,
like, I'm like, thank you, God. You restored my marriage, God. Thank you, God. Because I had not, like, I was surprised to hear his ringtone, because that mm-hmm. was back in the day when everybody had their own ringtone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was surprised to even hear his ringtone. So I get home, and I'm wrapping this up, but I get home, I walk in our townhouse, and I'm one of those people, I can navigate in the dark when I know where stuff is. Mm-hmm. So I walk in the house, I go around our couch, I go upstairs in the dark, and we had a chair by our front door in the bedroom. That's where I would always put my work bag and stuff. So I dropped the bag, and it took longer than normal for it to hit the chair. I flip on the lights. Bed is gone. The two chairs are gone.
Oh,
I was so immediately, and I look down and I turn on the lights in the stairs. So I'm like, and I see a hole in the wall. So I'm like, oh my gosh, we've been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
No, he left.
Oh my wow. God.
Like a thief in the night, he left.
Oh my God. But okay. Like,
oh my God. Right? Lord have mercy.
I'm just thinking about how that must have felt for you to like be so yeah. excited and thinking that here's an opportunity for you to, you know, rekindle like the love in your marriage and for you guys to come back together and, you know, just do it in your marriage. And then this man has up and left and taken
up and left. took only his stuff and the deep fryer because that was what he wanted off of the wedding registry. And the reason he called, of course, I find this out in retrospect, he was calling to make sure I didn't come home while he was doing it.
Right.
Because I mentioned before that I wanted to go to this service. And he was like, oh, really? He's like, are you sure you're going to go? And I was like, I'm not really sure. I got to work the next day. And he was literally calling to confirm that I wasn't going to be there while he was taking his stuff out.
Oh my goodness.
Girl. My heart drops.
I mean, mine did too, because like I said, I could just imagine how that felt. Like, yeah. Awful.
Very.
Oh my God, Chloe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw him probably two times after that. One of the times was to sign some piece of paper to start the divorce proceedings. Because that was the other thing. It's like he left, but I was like, I'm not, I paid for my family and most of my family and my mom and all that stuff helped pay for majority of the wedding and things like that. I was the, I don't want to say the breadwinner. Well, yeah, let's just call a spade a spade. I was the breadwinner. I was the breadwinner in the marriage. So it was like, I've supported you financially all these years. So I'm sorry. I'm not about to spend the money for the divorce. And thankfully, I mean, we didn't have any like mutual property or anything like that. Yeah. I can't even remember if his name was even on the lease at the apartment. So I think it cost all of like $300 to like file. And I wasn't like Tina Turner. I want my name back. Like,
right.
I'm not going to carry your name by any stretch of the imagination. I want my name back and, you know, I'll go on with my life. And I saw him once for then. And then his best friend got married and I was still friends. I'm still friends to this day with one of his best friends. And I saw him at that wedding and he was with some other girl by that time anyway, but we didn't speak or anything like that. And I sent him a message when his father passed away and he didn't even respond. So,
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
Short and sweet.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka DanaMike781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
So you guys were married for how long?
Like I said, legally for about 2.5 years, and realistically, like I said, honestly, I'd say 3 to 6 months in, it was a wrap.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So, yeah, it is. So even with that, like, you know, you saying like you weren't really in the marriage at that point emotionally, I'm sure that was still like a knock, like a blow. You know what I mean? So
oh, absolutely.
How did you deal with that aspect of it?
I can honestly say I felt very broken and very defeated. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big person as far as like, I have to get married. Like it was one of those, if I get married, I want to get married young. I want to have my babies young. You know, this is the plan that I've decided for my life. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wasn't like going out of my way seeking marriage. So for him to even choose me, I had a guy in college kind of mention he wanted to marry me, but that was probably in the heat of the moment. To have somebody actually go through the trouble of planning a proposal and introducing me to his family and doing all these things and getting in good with my family to then just like, I'm done. It's like, I mean, I hate to say it this way, just pull out the gun and shoot me at this point because you broke my spirit. You broke my heart. You really broke my heart. And I really felt like, well, maybe I'm not deserving of being a wife. Maybe I'm not deserving of being loved because you showed me everything that I felt like I deserved. You know, you were the nice guy. You didn't have, you know, all this bad reputation and all these things. Right. It's like you checked off the quote unquote boxes and things like that. So it's like, what was so bad about me that you just felt like you had to leave in that manner? I get it. You know, if we were going to get divorced, that's fine. We have been talking about it, but be a man and say, hey, I'm going to actually leave. I'm going to start this process. But to literally leave like a thief in the night, it was like, I didn't deserve that. Yeah. So I felt completely
such a coward move.
It very is. Much so. Yes. Yes. Wow. Very much so a coward move. His best friend even called me a couple of days later when he found out what he had actually done. And he said, I'm calling to check. His best friend is a ministry. He's now a pastor. But he was like, I'm calling to check on you because he called me and asked me to help him move. And I told him no.
Wow.
And he was like, I also had told him months before, if he didn't get himself together, that she was going to leave you if you didn't get yourself together and be the husband that she thought you were going to be. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that kind of playing over in his head is like, well, let me just get out of here. Mm-hmm. And but to this day, I have no explanation as to why he decided to leave the way he did. Wow. Or anything of that nature.
Wow, that's something else. So what did you do to kind of take care of you? And you said, you know, that you lost your spirit. What did you do to get back into that whole thing of finding you, being Chloe again?
I mean, honestly, it took a lot of, I'm an only child. I was raised as the only child. My dad has other children, but it took a lot of like, kind of shutting out the world and getting back to just spending time with myself. I don't want to say dating myself, but that's kind of what I did. I started, you know, reading the self-help books and got further involved in church. And that was kind of one of the other things where I felt like it was starting to become kind of a red flag once we were married, because we couldn't agree on a church home. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I sing, I'm not in the club singing, I sing for the Lord. So whoa, I was on, you know, I was a worship leader at my church and things like that. So it's like, you know, while I'm not saying you have to come with me to my church, but at least let us discuss going somewhere that, you know, we both feel comfortable. So the church we selected, I never felt comfortable there. It was, you know, him and his friends. And I just felt like I was an outsider. And as much as I am an only child, I like to feel included. Mm-hmm. So I had to do things to kind of get back to myself of feeling included. So it was like, I honestly kind of threw myself into church. The church I attend, at the time, we had, I think, four or five different campuses, and I was singing at every campus every Sunday. So I would sing at one, you know, sing at 8 o'clock, drive over here to those, you know, a couple miles away, sing at this campus, sing over here, sing over there. So I just kind of threw myself into the things that I knew made me happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think eventually I got back to that part of, like, this is the Chloe that I know and love. And I'm very big on, like, self-care and self-worth. So again, having that stolen away from me, it's like, I got to get back to me. So go back to the things you love to do. You like to travel, you like to cook or, you know, sing or whatever the case may be. So I just threw myself into things like that. I did briefly go to therapy,
mm-hmm.
okay. To see a therapist, to again, figure out like, cause again, I was like, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been broken up with before. Most of the time I'm the one that does the breaking, but I've been broken up with before. But it's, hey, you're too much. I don't want to be with you. So they tell me and they leave.
Right. There's an explanation.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Like this was no explanation. So that's probably the best answer I have is just, I went back to just kind of doing me and doing what made me happy. And eventually, you know, that was able to make me put my best face forward and my best person forward.
With that breakup, how did that impact, you know, you moving forward with regards to your view on love and relationships?
I was kind of on F love, to be quite honest.
You're with right.
You. The streets were calling and I did answer.
Oh my goodness.
I'm on my way.
The streets called. I answered. They were on speed dial. So
okay.
Just being quite honest. And it wasn't that I was just being extremely promiscuous or anything like that. But I would go out. And I'm not even a big, like I said, I'm not a big club person or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I was going, oh, it's your birthday party. Oh, you celebrating 4 nights in a row? I'm there all 4 nights. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go. So I was off of love. Like love, let's say love didn't matter to me. Love cost me a thing, which was my heart. So I was off of it.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I was off of it. So I was just out and having fun. And as far as relationships, I wasn't I wasn't seeking them. I did have two fairly decent, well, one was horrible, but the other one was fairly decent relationships during that, between the period of the man I married and now my husband, mm-hmm. where I was like, okay, but I feel like I wasn't giving 100% even then. It's like, oh, you want to be with me? That's great. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. You can be my boyfriend or whatever you want to call it. Sure. We're together. Fine. But I wasn't fully invested in seeing this as something that could be a real thing. So, yeah.
Were you thinking that you would, so you were saying like F love at first, but were you thinking, okay, maybe I might try it out later. Right now I'm not on that, but I might try it again.
I was genuinely like, forget love. I'm not here for it. What actually happened is the guy I dated for about 2.5 years before I met my husband, he made me believe in love again.
Oh, okay.
Simply because he could tell, like, I can tell you like me. I can tell you want to be with me, but I can tell you don't believe half the things I say, or you're not fully invested in this relationship with your heart. Mm. And the more and more he was like, he kind of had to say to me, he's like, I'm not your ex-husband. I'm not the guy you dated before who was abusive. He's like, I'm not either one of those guys. He's like, I'm me. This is how I treat you. This is, you know, this is what I want for us, you know, as a couple. And I'm just like, okay, maybe I'll try this love thing again.
Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. okay, this is, but it genuinely took him saying like, you deserve to be loved, and I'm going to love you whether you want me to or not, or whether you show me that you deserve to be loved. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this is, we'll try it. I'm down. Let's try it. Okay, sure. And he was the one, and that was, I met him in, I think 2012, 2013. Those dates are probably off, but it had been at least a good two, 3 years since my divorce that I finally was like, oh, I deserve somebody to love me. So it took some time.
Interesting. I wasn't expecting you to say that it was somebody else other than your husband that made you believe in love again.
Well, it was.
I like that though, because I know me and Sharice have had this conversation, you know, just in talking about relationships. And I really do believe, you know, from every relationship that we have, we can get something out of it. So that's what you were supposed to get out of that relationship with him. You know, just the knowing that somebody is out there for you, someone will love you for you, and you deserve love, because that was kind of like the gateway for you beginning to accept it for yourself. And then when your husband came along, you were ready.
Yeah.
And you knew, because you had experienced it, you know, with the guy prior to. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So speaking of, you know, the new, let's talk about the new husband. Okay,
tell us about the love
of your life. So yeah, so share your current love story, you know, all the things, how y'all met, how long y'all dated, what led to, you know, the engagement, marriage. Tell us.
All right, the good stuff. So we met, and I'm going to use dates because it kind of matters, but January the 4th, 2014 is the day that we met. We met because my good friend and his good friend are first cousins.
Okay.
And she was moving to China. She worked for Disney, but she was moving to China for an unknown amount of time, and we were doing a going away party, and it was a karaoke night. As much as I love to sing, I do not like karaoke. So my intention was to go there early, you know, help set up, say hello to the family, and then leave early because I had to work the next morning. My now husband, my husband mm-hmm. came later in the evening, like when it was almost over. And so we were sitting there, and it's a private room for karaoke. And so we were sitting there kind of next to each other. And the song by Lloyd, She's Fine Too, and I Want You, that song. Mm-hmm. His friend is up there singing the song, and you know the controversial lyric, "Fine two mm-hmm. or five,
or five two, right?"
I said, if you remember earlier in the story, I said,
"You're five two, right?"
Amen, amen. So, my husband, he was like, "Oh, I always thought it said this," and I said, "Well, I'm 5'2", you know, flirting a little bit, you know."
Okay,
and
I see.
He was like, "Oh, really?" And so we kind of chit chatted a little bit there at the karaoke night. I ended up leaving. According to him, he said he told me his name that night. I do not recall. So I leave, go on about my business or whatever. And then probably about a week and a half or so later, I get a random DM on Facebook. And it says, "Hey, 5'2", how are you?"
Oh.
And so I'm like, who is this? Because in his defense, his picture was a silhouette of himself. So I'm like, who is this?
He was doing a silhouette challenge back then.
Right.
I said he was the originator. No video. So he, you know, so I go, you know, immediately when you get a message, you don't know who it is. You click on it and you start to look through his picture. So all of his pictures are like scenery and beaches and stuff like that. I'm like, Lord, if this ain't a bot, I don't know what.
Right.
So I'm just scrolling. And so finally I see a picture. I said, oh, this is the guy from karaoke night. And I was like, oh, hey. At this point, I'd already responded like, hey, what's up? Because I'm like, I don't know who it is. But I looked through, and so we kind of chit-chatted on Facebook Messenger or DM, whatever you want to call it, for about a week or so. End of January, I wasn't living in Houston at the time, so I was going to be in Houston. And so I was like, he was like, hey, let's, you know, get together. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be in Houston on this particular day at the end of the month. And he's like, oh, can we go to dinner? And I was like, sure, not a problem. And at this point, we had kind of been talking every day. At some point in there, I gave him my phone number because I wasn't really checking DM because that was before like Messenger was a separate, you know, app or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, here's my number if you actually want to chit chat or whatever. And so he actually called me and I was like, oh, this is all right. Hello. Like, you know, but either way, we talked on the phone for about a week or so. We set the date. We went on a date and I don't want to say the rest is history, but we began a great friendship.
Aww.
Disclaimer, he was never my boyfriend. I was never his girlfriend. We went from friends to fiance exactly 4 years later. So four wow. years to the day, on January the 4th, 2018, he became my fiance. He proposed to me in the exact same place that we met.
Wow.
Wait. Stop. Let's go back. So tell me, explain to me, because I don't get it. Explain to me now how that works from friend to fiance and never boyfriend, girlfriend in between. How does that work?
Because titles don't matter to us.
Oh, okay.
We went on trips, we traveled. There was a understanding that he and I were together. You know, my close friends knew. I wasn't all over his social media, nor was he all over mine, but it was,
I know, cause when you got engaged, it's like, what?
Like, where you get here from, girl? Nice ring, but where he come from? Oh yeah, I had, and it's a funny thing with our engagement. So I had four requests. I don't like calling them requirements, but I had four requests. I wanted a Yellowstone. I wanted a public proposal. I wanted my mother to be present, and I didn't want it to be on any type of holiday or date important to me, like my birthday or anything like that. So he met all of those requests except for the one of my mother being present, which is perfectly fine. So when we got engaged on January the 4th, 2018, we didn't reveal it to anyone until January the 20th. Mm. So for 16 days, nobody knew we were engaged except for he and I.
Okay.
And well, that was because...
Oh, here you go. You about to go right into
again, that was because that fourth thing was my mother being present. So I didn't want my mom, I didn't want to like post on social media that I'm engaged. And then somebody called my mom, be like, you know, Chloe, I'm definitely get married. And my mom would be like, nah, Chloe, how you gonna get up here and get engaged and ain't tell me nothing? I don't want to find out from nobody else. That's how my mom talks. So my mom, the goal was to get my mom and his mom, you know, and our family, mostly my mom, his mom, together to let them know at the same time. Mm-hmm. My mother doesn't live in Houston. She doesn't drive in Houston. So it would have been, when can I get my mom to come to Houston and all that stuff? So we planned a karaoke family night thing. He told his family he was going to propose. I told my family that I was doing a delayed Cousin Chloe Christmas because I just moved back to Houston November before we got engaged. Because I had a job where I traveled 100% of the time. So I told them, I'm like, hey, we're going to do a delayed Cousin Chloe Christmas. And they came, you know, a few of my family members came, his family members came. And so my husband gets up and makes this really great speech. I have the ring on, but my hands are in my pocket. He gets up, makes this great speech, and everybody's got their phone out, like with the, you know, recording, thinking he's about to actually propose, thinking they're recording a proposal. And then he says, oh, by the way, a few Thursdays ago, this became my fiance, and I had to him with So that was why there was the delay. But yeah, titles and just it didn't really serve a purpose. We believe in you're single till you're married. And that's what worked for he and I. And here we are.
So it was just understood, like, yes. We together. We friends, and now we a little more than friends. And
basically, and like I said, we got engaged, and then that December 1, 2, 3 at 4, so December 3rd at 4 p.m. in Montego Bay, Jamaica, we got married.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yep. I keep saying that number pop up. I gotta look that up again.
Yes.
That is a great story.
It is.
So what's the significance of the Yellowstone?
My favorite color is yellow. I know the people can't see what I have on, but my favorite color is yellow. And I always said in retrospect, I knew the first marriage wasn't going to work because he got me a white diamond. he started off.
Told him.
Exactly. I'm like, you started off wrong with the ring. I should have said no. What was I thinking? because here's the crazy thing. Anybody and everybody that knows me like super, super personally and intimately, they know two things about me. They know I want to have twins, and they know that I want a yellow diamond, a yellow stone. Everybody knows that about me. So when people saw me and I'm showing the ring, because one of my first pictures I posted, like I think on my Instagram, was I had bought a ring dish for the ring. And so I just had the ring. It's a simple solitaire, you know, 2.78 carats and things. It was sitting in the ring dish, and that's the only picture I posted. It. All the women were like, "Oh my god, you got your yellow diamond!" Oh my god, da, da, da. So the people knew that that's what my request was. So it's just my favorite color, and I'm kind of non-traditional. I mean, I walk around with bright red hair and a mohawk, so I'm not exactly a white princess cut solitaire kind of girl. So.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is an awesome story.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram, it's faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you have any advice for anybody who's out there looking to jump into love the second time around? Any encouragement?
I actually do. My biggest thing I would have to say is, number one, be open to it. Feel like you deserve it, because that was my biggest problem and probably why I endured a very brief abusive relationship right after I got divorced, simply because he told me I was kind of, he told me I was pretty, but he also made me feel like crap. Mm. So it was like, okay, you're saying the right things, but you're not treating me the right way. So I'm like, well, since he's not, maybe I really don't deserve somebody that's actually going to treat me the right way. So number one, be open to being treated the way you know you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say the second thing is have fun. The reason I probably enjoyed my relationship with my husband the most is during the time of our friendship. And if you want to go labels, go for it. But during that time, I genuinely, and we had fun. It wasn't a whole lot of pressure to like, oh, let's get married. And it was a lot of outside pressure. Like y'all been friends for friends, quote unquote, for 2 years. When y'all gonna get married? And he's like, what if we don't get married? What if we just want to be friends? Like, you know, so it was like, I enjoyed dating him. Mm-hmm. Like we have plenty of great memories just from us dating each other and being friends and traveling and doing fun things. And I think that's what really prepared me to be married again, because mm-hmm. the first couple of random relationships afterwards, it was like, am I focused on let me get married again? Let me get married again. So I also feel like don't be in a rush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like don't be in a rush. I had several people, I think because once my divorce finally came out, it was people like, oh, you'll be married again in about a year. You're a great catch. Somebody's going to pick you up, you know, real quick. And I'm just like, so that year or that 2 years passed. And I'm like, well, why haven't I? And I thought about it. I was like, I'm not ready to be married to anybody mm-hmm. right now. Like, I don't even know myself that well. I was still halfway mm-hmm. in the streets. I'm not ready to be nobody's wife.
They were still calling me.
Exactly. The streets were still calling. They was on call waiting, but, you know, I took them off of speed dial, but they were still in the rotation. So it's like, no, I wasn't ready. You know, I wasn't really ready for something real. So that's probably my biggest advice is honestly be true to yourself too and know what you truly deserve. And like I said, in my case, it was like everything was ripped away from me and I didn't deserve for those things to be taken away from me. So it's like put myself back in the position where I'm happy. So mm-hmm. I tell my husband now, the biggest thing for me is to make sure that I'm happy, because if I'm not happy, then I cannot make you happy. Mm-hmm. I cannot be the best wife you need for me to be. I can't be the best friend you need for me to be to you, or the best support if I feel drained or if I'm not happy with myself. So,
yeah, that's good. That's good stuff right there, cousin Chloe. Well,
thank you.
It is good stuff. I love it. Well, I mean, this has been great. I'm so glad that you were willing to share your story and your journey from, you know, all the drama that you had to go through from the yes. beginning to finding, you know, friendship and mm-hmm. happiness with someone that you truly feel is your partner, your best friend for life. So that's awesome.
And I love that. I love that you said that you all were friends and that you mm-hmm. just had fun together. Like, that's really good, because sometimes you don't even hear that in people's stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I tell a lot of my girlfriends who are single and dating now, it's like, they're so busy, like trying to find a husband. It's like, enjoy dating. I was like, I have plenty of horrible date stories, but it's because I went on the date. So it's like sometimes you gotta go on the date. You never know what happens. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, enjoy it and have fun. If, you know, if not, you might miss out on something. So that's why I always tell a lot of my single girlfriends who desire marriage, just like, have fun with this, mm-hmm. enjoy dating. Don't look at it like, oh, he's my husband. This next guy has to be my husband. I yeah. wasn't my husband. I wasn't looking at him as this has to be my husband at no point until probably maybe a good 2.5-3 years, somewhere in there. I was like, okay, I could see like the rest of my life with him. But even then mm-hmm. I wasn't like, so you gonna marry me or not? Like I didn't. I was still enjoying it. So we dated mm-hmm. for four full years and mm-hmm. it annoyed the people around us. Like, why are y'all not married? Why do you care? Yeah. Like, this is, our hashtag is Kenny kind of love. And that's a play on Sunday kind of love, but it's also a definition of what our marriage is. We do love the way we want to do it between yes. us, the Kennys. That's why
I love that.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think sometimes just not only with like relationships and things, but it's so easy to let the outside world, you know, kind of tell us what we need to do, how we need to do it, and how long we need to, you know. So the fact that you all established, you know, your own timeline, your own frame of reference for how you wanted your relationship to be, I think that that's just really great advice too. It doesn't have to be on anyone's time, but yours and your boo's.
Yep,
that's right.
That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That. That's right. So that on that note, I think that's a good space to close us out. Chloe, can you let the people know where you can be found? Tell us what you got going on. What's up?
I got a little bit of stuff going on. On Instagram, I am at Cousin Chloe, COUSINCHLOE. If you have an interest in makeup, or if you happen to be in the greater Houston area, I also am a certified makeup artist. So if you need your beat done, holla at your girl. I have a website, Cousin Chloe Fab, F-A-B like face and beyond. com, where you can go on my website and see my work, as well as I do virtual makeup parties. I do one-on-one lessons. So those are kind of my things that I have going on. Also, I have a merchandise line called Exist Without Excuses. And that phrase came from just focusing on the moment and having happiness in the moment, and not focusing on the minor things that might be happening around you. So Exist Without Excuses. Mm. And those, I have shirts, cups, mugs, and all those things. And there's a link to on my website, cousinchloefab.com, where you can purchase a t-shirt or a tank top or a hoodie or a tote bag or a cup or a mug.
Okay.
Or a sticker, you know? So, yeah. So that's kind of what I got in the pipeline. And I have a YouTube and all that stuff. But everything, just go to cousinchloefab.com and you can find everything.
That is great. And we will put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing that. And everybody, if you want to follow Shari and I individually, you can follow me at AUNATUREL on Instagram.
And I can be found at Shari Lachelle, SHARILACHELLE.
All right. Again, it's Akilah and the two B's. And we are saying goodbye until the next time. Thanks for joining us again today. And we'll see you later. Optimistic about life.